The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Baba Yakubu.
In the headlines, Controller and Accountant General's Department suspends salaries of some government employees. Ghana Prison Service appeals for specialists in courts to determine mental state of accused persons before conviction. Ugandan rebel leader Dominic Ongwen faces ICC for war crimes charges. And in football, Gabon and Burkina Faso first casualty in ongoing AFCON as host Equatorial Guinea and Congo still through the quarterfinals. First a summary with Barbara Yakubu.
The Controller and Accountant General Department says it could not pay some employees in the Greater Accra region for the month of January. This is because heads of their units failed to validate and certify the employers to be paid. In a statement, the department reminds heads of departments and management units that Government Policy and Regulation 304 of the Financial Administration Regulation 2004 requires them to certify their payment vouchers before their salaries are paid. Top Ugandan rebel commander Dominic Ongwen is due to appear at the International Criminal Court in The Hague to face war crime charges. He's accused of 4 war crimes counts and 3 crimes against humanity, including murder and enslavement. His trial will be the first time that a member of the LRA has faced international justice. And football, host country Equatorial Guinea have reached the Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinals by beating Gabon. Equatorial Guinea, the lowest ranked team in the tournament, went through as Group A runners are behind Congo. Striker Javier Balboa made it 1-0 with a 55th minute penalty after he had been fouled by Lloyd Paloum.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The Controller and Accountant General has announced that some employees under MDAs and MMDAs in the Greater Accra region could not be paid this month because heads of their units failed to validate and certify the employees to be paid for the month of January. In a statement, the Controller and Accountant General's Department says the affected heads of departments can validate and certify their pay vouchers between Monday the 26th and Tuesday the 27th of January to enable the department to prepare a supplementary payroll for the affected employees for payment by February the 2nd. The Controller and Accountant General's Department is reminding heads of departments and management units that Government Policy and Regulation 304 of the Financial Administration Regulation 2004 is still in force. The policy requires heads of departments and management units to validate and certify their payment vouchers before their salaries could be paid by the Controller. The list of affected management units has been published on the Controller's website. Heads of management units can also contact the sectional head of Greater Accra Salary Section of the Controller and Accountant General's Department for assistance.
The Ghana Prison Service is appealing for psychiatric assistance for inmates who exhibit abnormal behavior in prison. The situation, according to the Chief Public Relations Officer of the service, Vitalis Aye, could partly be attributed to the lack of specialists at the courts to determine the mental state of certain categories of accused persons before they are convicted. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwati.
The way some people behave in prison, you know they are really not very normal people. And because we don't have professional psychiatrists, it is difficult to say this man is mentally ill. Because these days, people have the tendency, psychologists are in there, they counsel people. There are some people whose behavior tell you that this person is not really normal. Maybe his plea is not the prison, but because he committed an offense and he's sentenced, what do? We keep them there. They have to be in prison.
You are saying that definitely there are people who you doubt their correct mental state. What usually happens? Do they at times behave strangely? Do they slap prison officers? What usually happens? Do they exhibit abnormal behavior in the prisons? Do they excuse my word, toilets all over the place. What is the situation like?
They exhibit behaviors that are not normal. But if somebody can choose to sometimes smear himself with human excreta, his own or that of fellow prisoners, that's not a normal behavior. People with psychological problems, we see them, we know them. People who suffered maybe crisis in their love affairs, people who suffered neglect by family members, can exhibit some form of behavior, you know, is psychological. People are there to handle and talk to them. In the long run, they come back to normal. There are some from the one when they come with some behavior traits, no matter what you do, they carry it on. You just know that these people are not very normal people.
Have you, for instance, been slapped before by an inmate?
Me in person, no, the prison officers have been attacked, they've been slapped, they've poured feces on them, they've poured urine on them, and these are not normal people. A normal prisoner will not do what these people will do in prison.
Then what efforts are you putting in place to ensure that such people receive some sort of medical attention? What is the prison service doing about these, irrational, abnormal behavior in prison?
That is why we are out today asking for a lot of help from government and then societies, NGOs that can help us. Don't forget, we don't have, like in other parts of the world, at the court level, professionals are there to determine that this man can go to prison because he committed the act intentionally. And in some areas, they say this person, he did it because he was irrational. He was not normal. A psychiatrist could be attached to the court to determine that this person is not normal. When they bring them to us, we only report to the mental unit, that is the hospitals. But you and I are aware that the challenges we face is that of logistics, because we have just 2 psychiatric hospitals, as far as I know, in this country, that of Accra and Pantai. So imagine there's a mental case in Tamale. You suspect it's mental. How do you bring the person to Tamale? By what means? It becomes a difficulty. If people can come in, help us, correct them, assess them and say this person is not fit to be in prison, he should be in a psychiatric or mental unit. Our doors are open and are appealing to the public to help us do that.
Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Prison Service, Vitalis Aye, the Executive Director of Basic Needs Ghana, an NGO in mental health, Peter Yaro, described the situation as pathetic. He outlined measures to address the situation.
We think that to be able to effectively work in the prisons, we need to do some baseline, some feasibility research, at least get a profile and understanding of what the key issues are. Plainly speaking, we all think that a number of people who are in the prisons probably did not commit those acts in very same state. And we also know that a lot of people under trial do not get psychiatric assessment or clinical psychologists to support them. And so we would be putting people who clearly were in unstable states in prisons and even with no follow-ups for that. However, in our models, we have included prison officers, police officers in our sensitization activities to at least help them to understand issues of mental health and to deal with people who may be in certain mental states for certain crimes or falling foul of the law. People who probably have done reckless driving and are arrested, criminals that have stolen and are arrested. We have tried to let the police know, the prison officers know, and these we have done in all the regions that we work in. And that has facilitated at least a visit of one of the regional alliances in Upper East to a prison in Navrongo sometime in 2012 thereabout to understand the conditions of those prisons.
Looking at the crime that people commit and get convicted, at times if you look at the submission of some of these people, you realize that they are not in the right mental state. Would you recommend that we have psychiatrists on the bench when these judgments are being delivered?
Yeah, it is the right thing to do. As you well know, in other jurisdictions, a jury or a panel of experts to witness and observe a case would have at least a clinical psychologist, psychiatrist to support in such a trial. Anything mental health is of interest to basic needs, and especially special facilities like prison are of interest with any area that we are not sure a mentally ill person or any person with a mental health need would get treatment is of interest to us.
Others have argued that there are some people who feign a madness in the courtroom, who would say we have a problem when there is no problem, who would say we see flies or we see witches, but in reality it may not be so. So if you come in with such an intervention, it is only going to push such people to push for such claims.
That is far from right. It's easy to find such people out. It just takes a few moments of interaction, a few days of observation. They will give themselves away. But that should not be. In any case, as people always talk about, it's best to have 100 criminals set free than incarcerate one or than imprison one innocent person.
Executive Director of Basic Needs Ghana, Peter Yaro.
The coordinator of human security at the office of the president, Brigadier General Nunu Mensa, has called on Christians to discharge their civic responsibilities diligently and contribute to develop the nation. He says there is a lot that Christians can do apart from just attending church. Brigadier Nunu Mensa said the world today seems to be at war with itself and full of criminalities. Therefore, Christians must be courageous in speaking against negative attitudes in society. He was speaking at the 70th anniversary of the St. Paul Catholic Church Bihe in Accra. Rosemary Nganyaglu reports.
St. Paul Catholic Church started with 25 people in 1945 under Bishop Adolf Nusa. Since then, it has grown in leaps and bounds and also given birth to several other churches. The coordinator of human security at the office of the president, Brigadier General Nunu Mensa, said there is hardly peace in the world and for that matter West Africa today. This, according to him, is as a result of the high rate of poverty in society, saying the gap between the rich and the poor keeps widening. Unemployment and greed on the part of leaders are also contributory factors. Brigadier Nunu Mensa asked the church to be disciplined and offer a morally right leadership for society to emulate.
As Christians, we need to have the courage of our conviction and not only speak up against wrongdoing, but more importantly, do what we know to be the right thing to do, no matter what the consequence. After all, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his time, so many things wrong with society. He did not keep quiet, nor condone them, but rather took on the public establishment, criticized them when necessary, and preached a new way of life, which we as Christians are aspiring to follow today. Fellow Christians, I cannot look into the crystal ball and tell you I know exactly why there is so much rancor, bitterness, and anger in the world today. But I can safely say there is not much love in the world today towards one another. There is not much sharing, not much caring.
In a sermon, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Accra, Most Reverend Charles Palmer-Buckle, said Christians must be ready to work hard in honesty. They must stand for the truth and strive to encounter, know, love, serve and live for Christ.
The theme that you have chosen for yourself for your 70th anniversary. Not I, but Christ. It is not St. Paul, but Christ who loved him before he, Paul, loved Christ. It is not St. Paul, but Christ who died for St. Paul. So you see, every Christian must live that life. We encounter Christ through our friends, our brothers and sisters, who tell us that what we are doing is wrong. My prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, so that you may see Christ whenever you encounter him, whether it's in the government or it's in the opposition or government party, no matter what. May the Lord open our eyes to encounter Christ always.
The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nilaya Futiagu, called on the church to rise above partisan politics and chart the path of national cohesion and economic progress. He urged all to strive and face the challenges confronting the nation head on. Mr. Futiagu stressed the need for peaceful coexistence, irrespective of religious, political affiliation, tribe and social status.
Rosalind Ganyaglu reporting.
The Methodist Girls Ghana has since 2008 awarded scholarships to the tune of 30,500 Ghana cedis to 19 selected students across the 16 dioceses in the country to pursue further education at tertiary and second cycle institutions. The latest beneficiaries for the 2014-2015 academic year are four students who have been offered 3,000 Ghana cedis. The selected students were, among other equally qualified students, from Kumasi Sekendi, Winiba and Achimdai Dioceses. Correspondent Thomas Nsuinji reports.
The national lay president of the church, Brother Kwame Buafo, who made the presentation during an induction service for the new connectional chaplain of the girls, Very Reverend Seth Afosaki in Kumasi, charged the beneficiaries to continue to learn hard to improve on the academic pursuit. They are Master Ebenezer Inin from the Kumasi Diocese, who is pursuing a course at the University for Development Studies. Veronica Moses from Sekene Diocese, now at the Commander College of Education. Vada Domako Asa from Wenchi, a community health nursing school student, and Juliet Ochre from Achimoda, now pursuing a course at the Ahafua Senior High Technical School at Achimoda. Brother Buafo said the church will continue to monitor the academic record and hope they will live up to expectation. He said the church's commitment in supporting quality education delivery remains the same. A former Kumasi Diocesan Bishop of the church, Reverend Joseph Imprim, who inducted the new chaplain, expressed concern about the level of bribery and corruption, as well as ever-increasing high cost of goods and services in the country. He asked Christians to reflect on the theme, believe in the good news, saying they should believe in Christ as their personal savior on here on earth and in heaven. Reverend Mprim charged the new chaplain to prepare for the challenges ahead and work hard to surmount them. He should not also forget to build on the solid foundation laid down by his predecessors. The new chaplain, Very Reverend Seth Afosaki, is a graduate of the Trinity Theological Seminary, the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, and the Cape Coast University. He is a minister at the Mount Zion Methodist Church at Ahinsan in Kumasi. From Kumasi, Thomas Nsuaje reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Control and Accountant General's Department suspends salaries of some government workers. Ghana Prison Service appeals for specialists in courts to determine mental state of accused persons before conviction. Uganda rebel leader Dominic Ongwen faces ICC war crimes charges. And football, Gabon and Burkina Faso first casualty in ongoing AFCON as host Equatorial Guinea and Congo sail through to quarterfinals. 9 people escaped unhurt when a giant television mast fell on the building in which they were occupying at Abelenke in Accra, destroying property running into millions of cedis. The mast, located at Trotter Crescent Link at Abelenke, served as television and radio signals portal for Prime Radio, Digital Television, First TV, ATV, Star TV, and FTV. The items damaged include television sets, clothing, and a vehicle parked outside the building. Michael Angwin, owner of the building, said the incident occurred at about 5:25 p.m. when the lights went off. He said management of the company showed support for the victims and rented a hotel for them. The Northern Regional Minister, Alhaji Muhammad Muniru Limuna, says chieftaincy land intra-religious and political conflicts in the region are hindering the developmental goals of the region. He said about 80% of the region's resources are used in settling disputes, a trend which is hampering development. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Alhaji Limuna said the level of cooperation of the people is very minimal in the understanding of the administrative duties of the RTC, and associated it to the unjustifiable demands for resources by individuals and groups in the region.
We spend so much time and resources, much of our resources in terms of time and financial resources, in trying to bring down the rate of conflict in the region. If we're able to reduce this incidence of conflict, I think we'll have enough for development. Because almost every day, about 80% of our time is for conflict resolution. And that has to do with chieftaincy conflict and accession to throne and land disputes. Calling on our traditional rulers to see how best they can document the ascension to throne so that that can minimize or reduce the incidence of conflict in the region. Because I believe that if we're able to reduce conflict drastically, we'll spend much time and much of our resources instead of just peacekeeping and other things in other developmental issues. The size of the region, it occupies over 70,000 square kilometers and one-third of the landmass of the whole of Ghana. Because of the size of the region, there are a lot of developmental things that have happened, but it's very difficult to appreciate it because of its size. Maybe dividing the region into two, that will help us to be able to move forward and to be able to achieve optimal development for the region or this part of the country.
Alhaji Limuna noted that a service performance contract has been signed with the 10 regional ministers and coordinating directors. The move will help them to focus on their development goals. The directors will be assessed quarterly and annually.
We signed a performance contract between us and our coordinating directors, as the chief directors who are the head of bureaucrats, chief bureaucrats in the region. And what it says is that we are going to spell out things that they are supposed to be doing. Then at the end of the day, they are judged quarterly and annually for their performance. And what we think that this is very welcoming, because you now have a documented performance indicators where you can remain focused. Because of sometimes issues of conflict, you tend not to be a bit focused when it comes to your developmental agenda. So now that we have this document in there, listen, whatever happens, even if you have to, first of all, deviate to go to conflict, once in a while you come back to track and find out where you were with your implementation of that particular document. And so it was a very good initiative, and that will actually guide us to be able to remain focused in our developmental agenda or process.
Northern Regional Minister Alhaji Mohammed Limuna.
And staying with the Northern Region, people from the three regions of the North have again been challenged to promote unity and diversity by putting aside their ethnic, political and religious differences. This is because development cannot take place without peace. The MCE for La Nkwantanan, Franklin Anku, reiterated the points at the annual Damba Festival of Dagombas in Accra at Medina. He charged them to use culture for social integration and re-engineering. Naya Kwamwa reports.
Cultural display was at its best as both men and women were seen in their splendid traditional regalia as they danced to the tune of cultural music. The MCE for La Nkwantanan, Franklin Anku, said the importance of peace to community and national development makes it imperative for everybody to promote it. He said development in all phases of national life will come to a standstill if there is no peace.
Peace is the better of meaningful development. Without peace, there can't be any better development. Energy, time will be wasted if there's no peace. So I think that it's very much needed, and it is something that we must all cherish, no matter what. So that was, we are coming from home, we are coming from family, we are coming from community. So certainly, we should carry this message to all these areas. Once we are able to catch up with the message, I do believe that we will live together as people.
Culturally, our rich cultural heritage manifests on certain occasions like this. This is evident from the beautiful smocks you are wearing and the nice down kilts during exhibition. Festivals are part of our culture, and as a people, what defines us is our culture, customs, and tradition. Culture is the very foundation of society. Therefore, culture and tradition depends on the people where we come from.
A former Northern Regional Minister in the MPP administration, Boniface Abubakari Siddiq, said the representation of different ethnic groups at the event is an indication of partnership in coexistence.
I should say I'm one of the happiest men to have seen this gathering, to have started very well and ended peacefully. And the team was talking about Northern culture and the peaceful coexistence of the people in the North. That word peace talks about partnership. It's a partnership of an association of communal existence. So you see that right now, even though it is something that is coined by the Dugombes today as a Dugomba Damba, but almost all the tribes from the North, especially Gonges, are here. You have Mampushis, they are here. You have Nanumbes, and you have Dugombes.
The Damba Festival is celebrated every year by Dagombes, Gonges, Mamprusis, Walis, among other ethnic groups from the three regions of the North to mark the birth of Prophet Muhammad.
Yaya Kwama files that report.
The Volta River Authority says it is unable to fully utilize the 120 standard cubic feet of gas produced by the Ghana National Gas Company until March this year. A statement signed by the head of corporate communications at the VRA, Samuel Fletcher, said this is because some of its plants are down. Furthermore, some of the units are not ready to run on gas. We bring you more.
The statement said the first FICO unit has recently been returned to service after a long outage and expects the process of conversion to gas to be completed within the next 2 weeks to increase gas consumption to about 80 million standard cubic feet. The second FICO unit has been taken out of service for scheduled maintenance and will be available in March. FICO units have run solely on crude oil since completion in 2000 and therefore need some fine tuning to run successfully on gas. The statement also noted that all units at the VRS T1 and T3 plants have been running on gas supply from Ghana Gas Company since November 2014. Accordingly, the full 120 million standard cubic feet can be used for March 2015. The statement said, even though VRA is responsible for supplying TICO with fuel, it has no control over its operations. TICO has not been able to complete the commissioning of its plants to gas due to the erratic and inadequate supply of gas from Nigeria. TICO is therefore unable to immediately start operating on gas as the units require some work before the fuel switch.
That was the news desk report.
Top Ugandan rebel commander Dominic Ongwen is due to appear before the International Criminal Court in The Hague to face war crime charges. The leader of the Lost Resistance Army is accused of 4 war crimes counts and 3 crimes against humanity, including murder and enslavement. His trial will be the first time that a member of the LRA has faced international justice. The LRA is accused of seizing children to use as fighters and sex slaves.
Anti-austerity Syriza party has won Greece's general elections, putting the country on a possible collision course with the EU over its massive bailouts. With nearly 75% of the votes counted, Syriza is projected to win 149 seats, just 2 short of an absolute majority, though the number could change. Left-wing party leader Alexis Tsipras, who wants to renegotiate Greece's debt, said the Greeks wrote history. The governing centre-right New Democracy has come a distant second. Outgoing Prime Minister Antonis Samarel has admitted defeat and congratulated the new leader.
In our football, host country Equatorial Guinea haven't reached the Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinals by beating Gabon. Equatorial Guinea, the lowest-ranked team in the tournament, went through as Group A runner-up behind Congo. Striker Javier Balboa made it 1-0 with a 56-minute penalty after he'd been fouled by Lloyd Palum. The tournament host added another when substitute Salvador Iban slotted home a rebound from striker Emilio Insue's shot. In the other match, Congo beat Burkina Faso to reach the quarterfinals for the first time since 1992, topping Group A. Congo needed a draw to progress and went ahead when Mieri Bofana swept home Febore's Doris Cross. Burkina Faso needed a win and offered little until the last 10 minutes when Aristide Bans scored at the far post. Congo won in the 87th minute when goalkeeper Jimion Hanyo punched the ball onto the shoulder of Fabrice Ondama and trickled into the net. Congo's qualification earned it to the remarkable record of manager Claude Leroy, who has now achieved 7 quarterfinals in 8 appearances at the tournament with 5 different countries.
Meanwhile, Zambia and Cape Verde will clash today to battle for the quarterfinal slot in Group B. The Chipolopolo must win to keep their hopes of reaching the quarterfinals in Equatorial Guinea alive. Cape Verde is a strong side and it will be a difficult fixture. Tunisia will also clash with DR Congo. So in the news, the main points again. The Controlling Accountant General Department says it could not pay some employees in the Greater Accra region for the month of January. This is because some of their heads could not validate and certify the employees to be paid. The Ghana Prison Service is appealing for psychiatric assistance for inmates who exhibit abnormal behavior in prison. The situation, according to the Chief Public Relations Officer of the service, Vitalis Aye, could partly be attributed to the lack of specialists at the court. Top Ugandan rebel leader Dominic Ongwen is due to appear at the ICC in The Hague to face war crimes charges. He's accused of 4 war crimes counts and 3 crimes against humanity, including murder and enslavement. And football. Host country Equatorial Guinea have reached the Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinals by beating Gabon. Equatorial Guinea, the lowest ranked team in the tournament, went through as Group A runner-up behind Congo. The news was presented by Baba Yakubu.